Milwaukee's Hop Street Car is now facing an uncertain financial future. It's Wednesday, January 22nd, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Wisconsin has joined a lawsuit challenging President Trump over his order to ban birthright citizenship. And LGBTQ plus advocates in the state are pushing back against a different executive order. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
Hi, I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
Wisconsin Today is a great chance to bring people around the state together and realize we kind of all share the same neighborhood, even though we don't see each other.
And also attending to the news of the day in our state through that lens and understanding the world around us. That's really what I love about Wisconsin Today.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
Milwaukee's streetcar is facing an uncertain future after the state limited funding for its expansion. Evan Casey has more.
The streetcar started service in 2018. It runs just over 2 miles in downtown Milwaukee and is free for riders. Initial construction was partly paid for through a special tax district. The state's 2023 shared revenue law says the city can't use that financing to pay for expanding the streetcar. Milwaukee Alder Bob Bauman is a frustrated streetcar supporter.
We're pretty much dead in the water right now, as far as expansion is concerned.
A spokesperson from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson said the city is looking for other funding options. The streetcar systems manager was also forced to resign late last year after he missed out on deadlines for grant funding. A spokesperson for the Milwaukee Department of Public Works said they're still searching for a new manager. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
One of President Donald Trump's many executive orders says the government must recognize people by their biological sex, not their gender identity. Anna Marie Yanni reports that Wisconsin LGBTQ plus advocates are pushing back.
The order says the federal government recognizes two, quote, non-changeable sexes, male and female. It essentially excludes transgender and non-binary people. Abigail Swetz is the executive director at FAIR Wisconsin.
The first thing that comes to mind when I see this executive order is the reality that trans people are here and they are not going anywhere.
The order says people it defines as male can't be housed in federal prisons or detention centers meant for women. It says passports must, quote, accurately reflect a person's sex. It also reverses Biden-era guidance meant to support trans students. Swetz says she's focused on beefing up protections on a local level. Conservative lawyers say the order will protect girls in school and keep women-only spaces safe. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin, meanwhile, has joined 17 other states in suing President Donald Trump to block his order ending birthright citizenship. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states that all persons born or naturalized in the country are citizens of the United States. But Trump's executive order says people born to parents who are, quote, unlawfully present will no longer be recognized as citizens. The order also applies to children whose parents were lawfully in the U.S. under temporary visas. A joint statement from Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call says Trump's order is unconstitutional. They claim if it holds, Wisconsin would lose federal funding for programs like Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program. Federal funding for climate and clean energy projects now facing an uncertain future in Wisconsin. As Danielle Kading reports, this comes after President Donald Trump signed executive orders targeting policies like the Inflation Reduction Act.
Trump ordered federal agencies to pause and review funds spent under the landmark climate law. Energy expert and professor Greg Nemet with the University of Wisconsin-Madison says the president doesn't decide what to do about spending. Congress does.
This could end up just being more of a power struggle between Congress and the president. But in the meantime, it does reduce some confidence in the funding and the expectations that would go to our state.
Billions of dollars have yet to be spent on conservation and environmental justice programs under the law. Wisconsin environmental advocates say Trump's orders won't affect tax credits under the Inflation Reduction Act unless Congress acts to repeal them. Some Republicans are exploring clawing back tax credits to extend Trump's 2017 tax cuts. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The future of the social media app TikTok is also up in the air after President Donald Trump signed a different executive order delaying a potential ban of the Chinese-owned app for 75 days. A TikTok ban would affect several Wisconsinites who've racked up millions of subscribers. One of them is Nick Christensen. He posts videos of himself working in his vinyl shop in Franklin.
I'm making a vinyl banner for Girl Scouts, and it got me thinking, what is the highest amount of sales a single troop has ever gotten in the entire history of cookie sales? And
Christensen says the video has helped him grow his business.
And I did the math, and it's like 30% of traffic that we get is from shrimp TikTok. So it definitely is a huge impact if we would lose it.
After the Supreme Court upheld Congress's ban on Friday, the app went dark over the weekend. For now, it's working again for existing users, but it cannot be downloaded by any potential new ones. Coming up, we'll talk with WPR reporter Rich Kramer about the Wisconsinites who were charged in the January 6th Capitol riot and have now been pardoned. Stay with us.
Larry is news you can use.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to be on your show again as we move inexorably towards spring.
I'm wondering how hot this summer is going to be.
You know, everything has been a month early this year.
Well, I think we got warm in February.
We did. This year was just this year was weird across the board, as we all know.
The Larry Mueller Show, weekday mornings at 11 on WPR News.
One of the first moves that President Donald Trump made after taking office was pardoning the people who were convicted or on trial for their crimes committed during January 6th. Joining us now to discuss those Wisconsinites involved is Rich Kramer from WPR. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
So there were more than 1,500 people who were pardoned, and there was some previous speculation that this would happen. But some Republicans, including Vice President J.D. Vance, said that they believed that nonviolent offenders would get pardons, but those who committed violence would not. Is that what happened here?
It isn't what happened. Essentially, President Trump's executive order is very broad and gives pardons to nearly everyone who was charged with or convicted of crimes for their actions during the January 6th riots at the U.S. Capitol. The order commutes the sentences of 14 members of the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers, two groups that have been described as right-wing extremist organizations. The commutations means their convictions will stand, but any prison sentences that they were serving essentially ended yesterday. Every other defendant, no matter what they were charged with or sentenced for, received a, quote, complete and unconditional pardon from the president. President Trump has also directed the U.S. Attorney General to dismiss all pending indictments against the defendants.
And what exactly are they accused of doing on January 6th?
Well, there are 11 January 6th defendants from Wisconsin who received pardons. None of them were on that list of commutations we just talked about. So the charges for the Wisconsin individuals vary quite a bit. The most serious cases involved Riley Casper of Saxon and Joseph Catani of Colgate. Riley Casper pled guilty to assaulting officers and was sentenced to 37 months incarceration. The FBI's complaint against him showed screenshots of Casper spraying officers with pepper spray during a battle with police near the Capitol steps. It also includes private Facebook messages he sent to an associate where he said it was satisfying, quote, pepper spraying cops in riot gear and watching them run. Now, Joseph Catani has also been charged with assaulting officers along with other charges like violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. The FBI's complaint against him includes videos showing him pulling on a face shield worn by a Capitol officer. Catani pleaded not guilty to all of those charges against him. A jury trial was set for July 7th. And many of the Wisconsin defendants have received a misdemeanor charge of parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. Those who have pleaded guilty to that have essentially received probation, community service, or been ordered to pay some sort of restitution.
Rich, you've been on this beat, and you also reported on a couple of defendants whose cases took unusual turns after they were charged. What happened with them?
Yeah, two of those individuals who were living in Wisconsin at the time of the January 6th riot were charged with probation violations for either leaving or trying to leave the country. Paul Kvasik of Milwaukee fled to Ireland in hopes of claiming asylum for fear of political persecution in the U.S. Kevin Loftus, who was living in Eau Claire in 2021, was stopped last month trying to fly to Russia. He told the FBI he wanted to fight for Russia in its war against Ukraine.
Wow, what has the reaction been, Rich, from Wisconsinites, maybe some people who are in elected office here in Wisconsin? What has the reaction been across the state to these people now receiving full pardons?
On social media, at least, there's not as much reaction as you'd expect. Maybe we'll see more in the coming days or weeks, but at least one of the January 6th defendants from Wisconsin has commented publicly about his actions that day and on the pardon he received last night. Michael Fitzgerald of Janesville was charged with violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, obstructing an official proceeding, and some other infractions for being inside the Capitol during the riot. He thanked President Trump for the pardon and said he can now concentrate on beating his stage 4 cancer diagnosis instead of, quote, worrying about being put in prison for doing nothing. Mark Pocan, a Democratic member of Wisconsin's delegation to the U.S. House of Representatives, took to social media and called the pardons and commutations, quote, unbelievably wrong. He also accused Trump of being a, quote, president with no moral compass. And former Wisconsin Republican Congressman Reed Ribble also went on X and said, quote, beating up the Capitol and Metro Police apparently is fine if it's done in the name of dot, 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 end quote. And he followed that up with another post that said, quote, I think it's pretty clear we need a constitutional amendment to curtail the pardon power of presidents as Biden and Trump try to outdo each other with ridiculous actions today. What Ribble is referring to, along with the January 6th pardons, is President Joe Biden's pardons of 5 members of his family yesterday, just before he left office.
Providing some important context on all of these pardons on what's been a very busy few days in Washington. Rich Kramer, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And finally, quick check of weather before we let you go for the day. It's going to be warmer than it was yesterday. That's saying something because we're only getting into the teens and 20s today. But after yesterday's temperatures, that'll feel much warmer. We'll also see about a dusting of snow across the state. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.